KCH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. More stories of what Hurricane Helene did from Florida to Georgia to Tennessee in Atlanta.
We woke up to probably like 6 to 7 feet of water at 6:30 in the morning in our basement, and it started to rise, and it went into our living room area.
Remnants of Helene now moving north, at least 44 storm-related deaths and millions of power outages. The Israeli Air Force dropped bombs in an area in Beirut believed to include the leader of Hezbollah militants, according to two Israeli sources. No word if he was hit. The U.S. has announced an agreement with the Iraqi government to wrap up the mission in Iraq of an American-led coalition fighting Islamic State terrorists by next year. Appearing in public in New York after the two met in private, Donald Trump and Ukrainian President Zelensky, when Zelensky said he hoped U.S. relations with Ukraine are better than those with Russia's President Putin, Mr. Trump replied, "But it takes two to tango." This is ABC News. How could a looming dock worker strike affect consumers? ABC's Sherry Preston.
The National Labor Relations Board has been called in trying to resolve the dispute between the U.S. Maritime Alliance and the International Longshoremen's Association. The ports want an immediate resumption of talks ahead of Monday's strike deadline. If the union's 45,000 dock workers from Maine to Texas do walk out, you probably won't feel it right away. Retailers have been stocking up in anticipation of a strike. If it goes on longer than a month, though, you might notice some shortages and price increases on certain imports. Items.
A U.S. district judge has ruled that Meta chief Mark Zuckerberg can be deposed in a lawsuit accusing the company of copyright infringement in developing its artificial intelligence technology. Suit was brought by a group of authors who say Meta is using their works without permission to train the AI. Meta has requested to bar Zuckerberg's deposition, saying other employees should testify. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about talking about money and why we gotta do it, even though it's something we really don't want to do. In our culture, we're almost conditioned, like trained, not to discuss it. You know, it's impolite, it can make people uncomfortable, it could cause conflict. Well, I'm here to say that not talking about money makes it harder to solve money problems, harder to ask for a raise, harder to figure out and talk about what we want in life? Look, if you want to make more money and you want to get better at your money, you got to talk about your money. So let me start with a suggestion that I saw once on a shoebox. Just do it. Find a trustworthy friend or a family member and just talk to them about what's nagging you about your money. Now, you might not solve everything, but I bet you'll make some headway, and I promise it gets easier and better every time. For more money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Take good care.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A downsized Trump rally in southwest Wisconsin. The Republican nominee for president wanted to campaign outdoors Saturday at the Prairie du Chien Airport, but the rally got moved to an indoor performing arts center that seats 650. It's because several Secret Service agents were providing security at the United Nations General Assembly meetings in New York. The disgraced former chancellor of UW-La Crosse is fired again, this time from his teaching job. Jimmy Kuska has the latest on Joe Gao.
Gao was fired as chancellor in December after UW officials learned he was producing and appearing in online pornography. Earlier this year, a UW-La Crosse panel recommended removing Gao from his faculty position. The Board of Regents listened to 45 minutes of discussion before making the decision in closed session. I'm Jimmy Kuska.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
A potential playoff preview begins tonight. Hi, I'm Jimmy Kuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers are locked into the NL's third seed and will play in next week's wildcard round. This weekend, one of their potential playoff opponents, the New York Mets, are in Milwaukee for a three-game series. The playoffs begin Tuesday. Wisconsin football is heading west today to take on USC tomorrow. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell said long trips present challenges, but doesn't expect it to be an issue on Saturday.
Traveling to the West Coast means Friday morning is going to come really quick, and we got to get in here. The guys got to, you know, get here and get ready to roll. And so that's different. But is it completely different? No. I mean, if you were going to the East Coast, it would still be early. It just maybe it wouldn't be as early.
The game at USC starts at 2:30 p.m. tomorrow. Wisconsin returns home next week to play Purdue at 11 a.m. And on Sunday, it's the border battle. The Green Bay Packers take on the Minnesota Vikings. Kickoff is at noon. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Koska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, not as cool as it's been, a low near 50. Mostly sunny and mild for tomorrow, highs right around 80. And upper 70s for highs with sunshine on Sunday and Monday. Much cooler, though, through mid-next week, only near 60 Tuesday. It's 55 right now.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, James Vanderloo, the head of OEC Group, an expert in transatlantic trade and tariffs, will get all wonky with me. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
When mud becomes clear to explain, then truth to expect it, and thoughts pointless to accept them expressed, anything goes. Nothing then should be suspected as real, not even pain to feel, or making attempts to try, to find ways to say where it is, why it is felt, and describing what it is like to anyone who has not yet experienced it. That is from Lawrence Pertillier. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. And this is Friday. It is Anything Goes Friday on the Tom Hartman Program. I am Jefferson Smith. What's going to go today? How can we stretch, or should we attempt to stretch, the bounds of Anything Goes Friday? The call-in number here is 202-808-9925. This is the day where you are the star of the show. I suppose democracy is the star of the show. So bring your hot takes. Where did my sunglasses go? They were here, but they were taken back. My little sunglasses, so that we know that they live. We're here to save democracy and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of bubble gum. 202-808-9925. We won't exactly news my dad because it's anything goes, but thanks to people's kind words for having Pop on. And I realized he said, well, can I come on again? He really liked it. And like, well, we shouldn't have him call on every time. But like, I don't know, we just had heart attack. So if I said no to him today, what if it's the last time? That's dark. It's dark. But he will be with us at 10 if you got questions for him. Won't be here the whole time, but a little bit, because sometimes we'll have questions for him. For people in Florida who are navigating the hurricane, are more than thoughts and prayers go to. Luckily, there are federal protections. We can't stop the weather. We can't even change the weather. But at least there are federal emergency funds. Wouldn't it be nice if there were a federal legislative response to gun violence? But our thoughts and prayers at least are real when it comes to hurricanes, because we have done something to manifest those thoughts and make them not wasted or false prayers. My nephew is in Tampa right now, and it's not the hardest hit place, but my wife nonetheless is worried about not only him, but everybody in Florida. All of us have friends in Florida. It's a big state. So our thoughts go to you. Another piece of news we haven't covered yet, or didn't cover yesterday, is the indictment of the New York City mayor. Here's my thought on that. I'm not in a position to evaluate the facts. I'm not a New York voter. But to our friends who listen to this program, who have in their lives criticized who've supported Donald Trump. And I know that's not the base audience of our listenership, to be clear. But I do hope that we reach any number of people, and people drive around in their cars, listen to any program, and you are all welcome here. And for those who have either danced with or too often stay within the room of identifying their primary enemy as the Democratic Party or Joe Biden or Barack Obama or liberals, or to those who think that everything is just both sides, both sides. It's all just both sides. Consider that a Democratic United States Senator and the mayor, Democratic mayor of America's largest city government, and it's actually one of the biggest governments in the country in terms of budget. I think the ranking is United States government number one, state of California number two, and I think New York City government is third biggest. I think that New York City budget's bigger than the state budget of New York because they run their schools. I think that's right. But anyway, big Democratic leader and the Democratic president's own son have all been indicted by a Department of Justice that was appointed by a Democratic president. When we speak of the rule of law and that the rule of law is at issue right now in the United States of America, that the choice between, I'm not saying each of us, you know, we're perfect people. That's not my point. But if we're thinking about who is going to be in charge, who are going to elect to the presidency to be in charge of appointing the Attorney General and who is then in charge of the Department of Justice. And we say that something at stake is, in fact, the rule of law. It's not an exaggeration. And it ain't just both sides. And it ain't Ralph Nader 24 years ago saying there's no difference. To be clear, Ralph Nader's a national hero right up until the year 2000. And still, in many respects, a national hero. I just disagree with him 24 years ago. The assertion that there, just imagine, can you possibly imagine a Donald Trump presidency, a Barr or whoever the next, I mean, you got former Attorney General Barr now denouncing Trump, so it's going to be even harder. It would be even harder for Trump to find an Attorney General that passed the bar, stayed in good standing. I mean, you'd find somebody because there's lots of people like that job, but he's going to be, it's not going to be somebody of greater repute, of greater ethics, of greater discernment than anybody in the past. It's going to be worse. Can you imagine that, Attorney General? Can you imagine that, Department of Justice? Can you imagine that, Trump administration, indicting a U.S. senator from their own party, a prominent mayor, their prominent mayor of their most prominent city, and the president's own son? Could you imagine it for a moment? Of course you can't. Of course you can't. That I'm not thrilled about these indictments, but I am pleased. I think we should pleased the wrong word. We should take some confidence that we have a Department of Justice that at least can be trusted in being unbiased. I know that is going to be lost upon many a Donald Trump voter. They will find some other way. They will find some other way to maintain cognitive dissonance and not acknowledge that it certainly won't take it as evidence that the Department of Justice indictments of Donald Trump, for instance, that are investigations of, that the indictments and successful convictions of Trump Confederates, they won't say that that was unbiased all of a sudden. But you should take some succor, you should take some comfort in the fact that we have a Department of Justice that is an equal opportunity indictor. I have to say about that. This is Anything Goes Friday. The call-in number here is 202-808-9925, 202-808-9925. We'll be honored to have your calls, and I'm honored to be with you. There was some, we'll probably also talk and have some follow-up on the story in the New York Times about locking away people with mental health disorders and or mental health challenges and locking them in for-profit facilities. And those for-profit facilities having a financial incentive to keep that person detained, either not to let them know that they're only allowed to hold them for a standard 72-hour period against their will for those 72 hours. And then they just don't say, hey, by the way, it's hour 73, you're free to go. They just sort of pretend and let the person going through, or maybe whose episode is passed, or maybe that episode is overblown in the first instance, to just say, oh, they don't say you get to go. They just pretend as if they still need to stay. Or they, in fact, fight processes to release them. We'll say more about that. The study that travel can slow the aging process. We will probably talk about a little bit about what's happening with the candidate for governor of North Carolina. That and more in your calls, 202-808-9925. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
We'll be right back on the Tom Hartman Show. Welcome
right
back
now,
to the
you
Tom
can
Hartman
switch
Show.
From cable television to satellite television for free. That's right, we're offering free equipment, free installation, plus get a free $100 prepaid Visa card. Call the satellite TV hotline right now. Make the switch from cable to satellite television and expand your viewing horizon. On top of free installation, for a limited time, we're offering a fixed price guarantee. With satellite TV, you'll save money over your expensive cable bill, plus get access to hundreds of channels. And when you call right now, you can also ask about our seniors and military discounts. So make the switch to satellite TV right now. Everybody gets free installation, free equipment, plus a $100 prepaid Visa card. Call right now and you can switch to satellite TV and be watching everything you wanted to within the next week. And remember, installation's free, so call right now. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. That's 800-942-1298.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It is National Monte Cristo Day. It's kind of one of those sandwiches, it's like bell bottoms. You just haven't heard about it in like 40 years. But it got me thinking, what's a sandwich that's totally overrated? I'm going to go first. The Philly cheesesteak.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm spoiled. Because in Wisconsin, we have the brat packed with tons more taste than a Philly cheesesteak.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. The Todd Alba Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Pat Kreitlow, words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com.
And we are back. Let's go straight to a call from Bruce, I believe, in Beaufort, North Dakota. I hope I have that right. Bruce, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking the call. I'm driving at the moment, and I'm going to pull over.
Pull over. Don't get in a crash, man.
That's right. That's right. So here's the premise of my call. I want to understand why, since Trump was granted relative universal immunity, for core statements and official acts, why can't the current, or why doesn't the current administration use that to their advantage? Obviously, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
And to their advantage, what would you want them to do to their advantage?
Well, I mean, I don't know specifically, I'm not legally astute enough to understand what's possible, but if it could be claimed that the state of our democracy is in peril because of what the opposition is doing with everything they're doing, then why couldn't that be considered an official act? And he could act, Biden could act appropriately, whether it's to restore voting rights, to counter the voter suppression around the country, or whatever. I mean, there's plenty of things that they're doing. To me, seemingly illegally, unethically at least, that can be corrected. So I'm saying.
And who's the they? The they, you mean any number of people?
GOP. Well, primarily the Republican Party.
Yeah, understood. In all the states. All right. Well, I'll take a crack at it, Bruce. I'll take a crack at it. Thanks for the call and thanks for the question. I'll say two things. One, I wouldn't rule it out categorically, right? What I'm going to say is going to sound most like a pushback, and it will be. But I wouldn't rule it out categorically, because there might be places that are moral stances that are justifiable, that where there's language within the Supreme Court opinion which gives the ability of the president to do more than otherwise the president might do. But to answer your question, which was why aren't they doing this, or why shouldn't they do this, or why isn't what's good for the goose also good for the gander? Because ultimately what immunity is shields you from the prosecution for a crime. And I don't think we want our president committing a crime. It doesn't mean they never will. It never doesn't mean they ever have. Doesn't mean any of us never will or never have. But we don't want to advocate for that. We don't want to advocate for our president committing a crime. We don't want our president to need immunity. We also be able to maintain a firm foundation upon which to say the Supreme Court was wrong, because they were. They were wrong. We did not start this country to elect a king. We started this country to elect a president. The reason we had legislative immunity was to protect legislators, members of Congress, members of the United States House of Representatives, members of the United States Senate, protection largely from an executive, from the presidency, from the administration, who controlled the apparatus of enforcement, who might be able to manifest arrests, detainment of members of Congress so that they could rule like a king. The irony here, and it's a powerful and an important one and worthy of our time, is that the point of immunity was not so that presidents could be kings. The point of immunity was so the presidents couldn't be kings. I don't want a president who's a king. I'm still a guy who won the revolution. It wasn't just about taxes. It was about representation. It wasn't primarily about taxes. It was mostly about democracy. And the people who want to say it was mostly about greed are wrong. And it's mostly they're covering over the fact that they want to manifest our politics to cover their own greed. We have this country for democracy. We have this country because we're stronger together than we are apart. We have this country because it is a grand experiment. And that grand experiment was so we didn't have a king. Now, how is that responsive to your question? I don't want the president I agree with to be a king. That doesn't mean I never want them to use executive power. It doesn't mean I'm always going to criticize them when they use executive power at the edge to do something I think is really right or the country really needs. I love Abraham Lincoln. He stretched executive privilege and executive power. But it does mean we want to be really careful. We just say, aha, they just opened the door to criminality by the presidency. Let's do it. Because I don't think that's what we want. Now, that doesn't obviate the importance of your question. Your question is really important. Because if I've said that, if what's good for the goose isn't what's good for the gander, or vice versa, how does the gander win? If one team gets to cheat, if one team has as part of its ethic to be the rat effers, if one team would never indict a high-profile mayor in their own party, or a United States senator in their own party, or the son of the president in their own party, if one party would never do that and the other party would, not fighting fair, if one party is working hard to preserve the rules, is working hard to allow a Republican president to appoint Republican Supreme Court justices, and the Republican side doesn't let the Democratic president do that, if one side doesn't fight fair, what do we do? This is a good question. And I don't think my advocacy is not. That's why I started out by saying I don't want to just set aside categorically. We shouldn't think about anything within the realm of that. We shouldn't just say, oh, no, we must turn the other cheek. We are here not merely to be proponents of religiosity and morality, but also people who need to exercise, gather, wield power for the benefit of people. And that isn't always easy, and it's not always kind. But it should be the purpose of ultimate kindness. And it should be to the purpose of ultimate righteousness, even though it won't always feel nice. And I don't want us always to have both hands tied behind our back. But rather than just fight fire with fire, I do think we want to fight fire with water. I do think we want to win a pro-democracy coalition. I do want to say, at some point, democracy is humility. It is the understanding that none of us is always right all of the time. None of us. We have democracy because we think we're smarter together than we are apart. That's the point. So I don't want a president to be a king. And I don't just want fire fought with fire because I don't want to burn the world down. We bet.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
It's Anything Goes Friday. There's something going already. 202-808-9925. Your call is coming up next.
Watching television? If you're on a fixed budget, you need to make this free call right now to Dish and find out how you can get a fixed monthly price to watch all the television you want for 3 full years. In addition to a 3-year price guarantee, you can also get free monthly movie rentals. They give you one free movie rental every month. That's a $165 value, yours free. Plus, get free in-home tech visits, no-cost equipment replacements, a free voice remote, and you can watch commercial-free TV. Even access all your favorite apps to stream like Netflix, Amazon Prime, YouTube, and more. Now is the perfect time to call Dish. Take advantage of the 3-year price guarantee. Save yourself some money and all your equipment is free. Call right now.
800-478-5560. 800-478-5560. 800-478-5560. That's 800-478-5560. Paid for by NPS. Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. That's 800-554-0206.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. More stories of what Hurricane Helene did from Florida to Georgia to Tennessee in Atlanta.
We woke up to probably like 6 to 7 feet of water at 6:30 in the morning in our basement, and it started to rise, and it went into our living room area.
Remnants of Helene now moving north, at least 44 storm-related deaths and millions of power outages. The Israeli Air Force dropped bombs in an area in Beirut believed to include the leader of Hezbollah militants, according to two Israeli sources. No word if he was hit. The U.S. has announced an agreement with the Iraqi government to wrap up the mission in Iraq of an American-led coalition fighting Islamic State terrorists by next year. Appearing in public in New York after the two met in private, Donald Trump and Ukrainian President Zelensky, when Zelensky said he hoped U.S. relations with Ukraine are better than those with Russia's President Putin, Mr. Trump replied, "But it takes two to tango." This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Homebuyers in Wisconsin are eager for mortgage rates to come down. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Recently, the U.S. Federal Reserve lowered interest rates, but that's not the same as mortgage rates. Kristen Ambos of Point Mortgage in Appleton.
It's a direct indicator on the rates that the banks are borrowing at. So that's coming down. But remember, the bank is going to add 2 to 3% so that they can make money.
Ambos said there will be competitive pressure for mortgage rates to come down. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Wisconsin is remembering one of the greatest high school basketball players the state ever produced. Joe Wolf died on Thursday. He led Kohler High School to 3 state titles, then was teammates with Michael Jordan at North Carolina. He played 12 years in the NBA, including on the Milwaukee Bucks. Wolf was 59. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Wisconsin native Mark Ruffalo took home a Best Documentary Emmy for his film Lakota Nation versus the United States. It all went down at the 45th Annual News and Documentary Emmy Awards last Thursday in New York City. The documentary details the seizure in 1876 of Black Hills and chronicles the Lakota tribe's fight to reclaim the land. Freddie Prinze Jr. has signed on for another installment of I Know What You Did Last Summer. This will be the fourth film in the franchise. Jennifer Love Hewitt is in talks but has not signed on to the project yet. This will be the third film of the franchise for Prinze. Another installment of the franchise had different actors and went right to video in 2006. Producers say they are hoping to have the film in theaters in the summer of 2025. If the original cast gets much older, the next installment can be called I Totally Forgot What Happened That One Summer. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, not as cool as it's been, a low near 50. Mostly sunny and mild for tomorrow, highs right around 80. And upper 70s for highs with sunshine on Sunday and Monday. Much cooler, though, through mid-next week, only near 60 Tuesday. Right now it's 53.
The Todd Alba Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that Just a Bit Outside the Movie Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You gotta go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie. seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump, on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man, losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, very excited to have Lee McGowan, the politics girl, is going to join us as we break down the upcoming 2024 presidential election. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
I'm listening.
Hello? Oh, okay. I live in New York. I'm driving by the United Nations. And there's security, air, land, everywhere one could imagine. And yet today, one of those biggest terrorists is going to be speaking in front of the international body, Netanyahu. And meantime, we're also trying to get America's biggest terrorist to come back as the cancer that it is, as the second coming of Christ, to be our president, which is Donald Trump, world's biggest subhuman, probably. So how do we get these two terrorism yet to be the forefront of the international community?
It's a great question, Lewis, and it is Anything Goes Friday, and I think it's for the second we get to vote, and as for, I think I know what you mean by the first one, and ultimately, who is in charge of other countries is not our primary decision, but Marty from Wixom, Michigan, I think, you're on the air. Marty, can you hear me? All right, Marty, we're going to go. Stephanie from Chicago, WCPT Ain't Afraid of Me, how you doing?
Hey, I got two questions. The first one is, if that thing gets elected, can he run, can he be president if he's been banned out of, like, what is it, 13 countries because of his felony convictions and everything? How can he run when he can't go to these other countries to do business?
Yeah, so there's two ways to take your question that I could take your question, Stephanie. One is, does it make him ineligible? And as a constitutional matter, as a legal matter, no. The fact that it would strain relations with other countries, the fact that people would laugh at us more, the fact that they would be more fearful of the state of the Western Alliance if the United States is led by somebody who isn't in favor of the project and who can't be trusted and cannot visit other countries, that does not make that person ineligible who we elect president is our business to some degree. Second, does that make that person less qualified? Does it make that person less fit to be president of the United States? Yeah, I think probably it makes them less qualified and less fit. And that should be considered. You want the last word?
Also, I'm a black female, 64 years old. And I've been talking to, they've been talking about how a lot of black men are going for Trump. And the ones I've talked to, and believe me, I go out there just to ask the question, why are they for Trump? I'm getting a lot of, he gave me a stimulus check. And I think that people need to be told how the government runs. Trump can't send anybody a check.
Yeah.
It has to come through Congress.
Yeah.
Any money spent. He can sign it, but he can't send it.
Yeah.
But one guy told me, because Trump had his name put on it, that it came out of Trump. Own a bank account, I guess.
No, I appreciate you saying that. And Stephanie, I'll say what my wife says a lot, which is, black women saved America. Okay, so that's not, I'm not like they were. That's who was the most energetic, most loyal, best voter base that helped Joe Biden beat Donald Trump. Black women saved America. And I think that when it comes to other constituencies, we got to listen to you. When it comes to, and that includes white men and black men. And so keep preaching it, keep teaching it, keep saying it. And you're absolutely right that the letting everybody know that the power of the purse is controlled not by the White House, but by Congress, even though Donald Trump very much wanted his signature on those checks so that he could get people to say, oh, look. He gave me a check. I better vote for the guy. He knew what he was doing. He loved that idea. That's why he didn't veto the stuff. But, yeah, keep teaching it, keep telling it to people, and keep preaching it.
Oh, one more thing.
Go ahead.
I'm doing something. I'm running for a township trustee in my town.
Thank you for doing that.
Something at the convention, so I'm doing it.
Well, congratulations and good luck. And your vote is on the same day as everybody else's?
No, ours is actually in April.
All right. All right. Well, good luck, Stephanie. We wish you the best on it, and thank you for calling.
All right.
All right. Cheers. All right, let's go to Joe, also in Chicago.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to give Walt some unsolicited debate advice, even though he's a strong speaker. And that is, I really hope he focuses on strongly differentiating between the Republicans and Democratic parties and why people should vote for Democrats. And he could say something to the effect of, look, let me give you people some advice. If you buy a car from a crooked, conniving thief, you're going to end up with a broken down piece of junk and a lot of debt. And furthermore, if you vote for Democrats and you end up getting taken to town by a crooked salesperson, we offer protections and laws that require people to sell an honest piece of merchandise.
Yeah.
That the car they sell has to have known defects disclosed. They can't sell you something that misrepresent what they sell. They have to provide warranties and guarantees for selling something that's defective. And if you vote for Democrats, you're going to get that. If you vote for Republicans, they want to strip away those regulations and let people go to town stealing whatever they can.
I like your analogy. I like your analogy, or maybe it's metaphor, but I think it's I think it's effective. And thank you so much, Joe,
the other point I really think you should make is, look, you know, let's talk about honesty and integrity. If we say something that's slightly off baseline, we're going to own up to it and correct the record. My God, look at what Trump has said: 30,000 lies during his presidency. How can anybody vote for somebody that has zero, you know, fidelity to truth and honesty?
I love the first one. I'm fine with the second one. But I think you had such a strong first point. You just dismount after the first point. But I'll reply to both. So I'll reply to both by saying this. I got a note from a listener yesterday. That said, it was on the X website, which I'm not that interested in promoting very much, frankly. But I do like to reply to people if they I read people if they tag me. I'm at Jefferson D. Smith, and he and the listener said, "Oh, don't underestimate the retired teacher." And it occurred to me, oh yeah, retired teachers had to be in the habit of responding to a lot of sass. Has had to be in that, like, there aren't many harder audiences than middle school and high school students. Those can be tough rooms. So I wouldn't underestimate Walls. One little note: if you call somebody a liar, it is one of the challenges of calling somebody a liar. One of the reasons we need the media to do that is that if you do that as a politician, you open up the other person to be able to hit you back, because almost anybody, any human being in the world has said something that turns out not to be accurate. Sometimes because we know it in advance, sometimes because we use a number that was just wrong. And so be a little bit careful about opening up that, you know, anytime we throw a particular kind of brick at a particular kind of glass house, let's make sure our house ain't made of glass or made of straw, or, you know, pick your own metaphor or analogy. But let's keep going with listeners. Let's go to Will from Bushkill, Pennsylvania. You're on the air, Bill.
Hey, Jeff, what's your question that you throw? What do we do with one party that cheats and lies? You know, and you, okay, I'm only speaking for myself, but I've been listening to this crap that for so long, and I don't mean the question. Your question is a great question. Is that this question has been bandied about for, I don't know, since 1833. And the first thing you need to do is stop debating with these people. There's no debate. Mm-hmm. Stop acting as if they're serious. In other words, we force them to stop breaking law. And how do you do that? Well, of course, by any legal means necessary. You just carpet bomb them with lawsuits, mocking, laughing at them. every step of the way. In other words, it has been my experience. It is a lethal debate, strategic political move to talk to one of these BSers who's just blabbing out incoherent hallucinations or about some factless thing. And actually, do not, if you start getting into a debate with them, you already lost. Because you are wasting your time, and it actually always backfires. So, in other words, metaphorically, you tell them to shut up, like you're dealing with a misbehaving child who's in the back of the room throwing spitballs at the teacher. There's a certain point where you need to say, "Kid, we're going to remove you from the class until you learn how to behave."
Where I would agree, and Will, thank you so much for the call, and where I think we find some real agreement. Where I find my head nodding is that the audience, if what we want to do is build a supermajority that is pro-democracy, that our audience is not primarily, I wouldn't say it is in no part. I've mentioned her already. My debate this with my wife. She's in your school of thought. Like, they're just a waste of time. I am a glutton for punishment. I tend to think there are few people who are wasting time. But I agree, the primary audience is not the person who is trying to undermine democracy or somebody who doesn't really prioritize that. The primary audience are the people, including the next generation of voters, for whom we still need to reach out and convince. I agree that that's our primary audience. We'll be back, as well as ourselves.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
This is why we preach to the choir. We preach to the choir to get us to sing. 202-808-9925. 202-808-9925. Your show.
Would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-550-9469. 800-550-9469. 800-550-9469. That's 800-550-9469.
This is the final weekend of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Don't miss your last chance for adventure. That's hilarious entertainment, delicious food and drink, live armor jousting, and our marketplace is a shopper's dream. Discount tickets available at Cub Foods, Menards, Quick Trip, and Walgreens. This is our closing weekend, so the gates will be open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Get your on-site parking pass and plan your adventure at renaissancefest.com. Only 3 days left this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s.
George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes, this man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The Ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. The call number here is 202-808-9925. We're going to keep taking a stream of your calls as Anything Goes Friday, where you are the star. And sometimes we can test where anything goes. Nobody's tested it too hard yet. Nobody's, you know, but we'll see. Bob from Cardiff, California, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Jeff. You asked a little earlier where the billionaires are putting their money in this country.
Yeah.
And yep. I've got one answer. You know, obviously there's other places, but they're buying. Like, I don't know if you're a baseball fan, but Alex Rodriguez,
sure,
he said he owns 10,000 single-family houses
that
he didn't buy to fix up and sell. No, and you wonder why my daughter and her husband needed a hell of a lot of help to just get a down payment for a house.
Yeah,
every house is just bought with cash. I get these fake checks in the mail every couple of weeks that say, here's a 1-point-something million for your house. It's not a good check, but that's kind of in this Southern California area, not all that far off for a house that was $48,000 in 1970 when I got out of the service. And the fact is you need a roof over your head. I mean, you can get a bag of pinto beans and you can get something in your stomach, but if you don't have a roof over your head, you're screwed. And that's what I believe.
So glad
that's
the
number one thing that these billionaires are doing is they're buying up with cash. A good friend that's into real estate says the most of the sales are just cash. Write a check. So there's no way to compete with them.
All right. So I really appreciate the call. And I would encourage people to follow Jeff Merkley on any platform you choose and to pay attention to what he's doing, that it would require a Democratic Senate and a Democratic House to have any chance of doing something about this. But follow Senator Jeff Merkley, one of our finest members, finest people in U.S. government right now. And I don't just mean as a politician, I mean as a human being. And I know that to be true from personal experience. Someday I'll tell you, maybe even today, if there's a moment, I may even tell you my Jeff Merkley story. But you're absolutely right. And I want to say something to the millionaires out there. Okay? I want to say something to millionaires out there, which is maybe a strange way to start a paragraph. So we divide folks up. Very often I know that what the Republican Party wants to do is wants to say, aha, Democratic Party, that's for poor people. Maybe even the people hoodwinking poor people. That's for poor people. If you don't want to be poor,
you should be a Republican, right? That's kind of their unspoken, maybe even spoken message. It's a little different now, particularly in urban areas, because in so many ways, that more educated, more affluent communities are voting Democrat. But in terms of policies, in terms of who's better for the middle class and who's better for lower-income people, that's been the argument for decades, right? And therefore, the Republican Party brings in, you know, Sunbelt millionaires, people who are real estate investors, people who've flipped 25 houses or three of them, and say, you're with us. You're with us. And what, yeah. But what I'm saying is that there is real need for people who are just millionaires, who are just affluent, to recognize you have common cause with the middle class. You have common cause with working class people. You have common cause with poor people in this country. We should all be together to make sure the whole country works. I'd make this case to billionaires also, but at least let me just say to millionaires, you want to be able to buy 100 houses, and if you want to be able to buy 100 houses, you want somebody buying 10,000 houses or 20,000 houses. And if we do that, it makes all kinds of things kind of break. Because one of the dreams 20 years ago for somebody to be able to pull themselves up by their bootstraps, and usually they were borrowing somebody's boots, but, you know, you'd have all kinds of real estate trainers going out there and saying, oh, all you got to do, go get your credit card, here's a little move, come join my seminar. You too could be a house flipper, go start to flip a house. And that was and because they saw market opportunity. And then hedge funds and private equity firms and big, big pots of money realized, oh, wait a minute, if each of these people are doing this individually, trying to flip one house. Because if I could flip one house, maybe I could do something else and I can start living some version of an American daydream. That if they can do that, well, heck, if I got $1 billion, I can do that even more. And that's removing economic opportunity for people to kind of claw themselves up. But then, of course, the most important, that's my message to millionaires. And my message to everybody, and is that your message is more important, that the country doesn't work if people don't have places to live. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work for anybody. It doesn't work if people don't have a place to live. And if we have too much oligopoly purchasing power and too much, I guess that's oligopsony, or if we have too much oligopoly ownership of housing, that messes things up for way too many people. Last word from you, Jack.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I don't care if somebody has a house in Hawaii, house in Aspen, you know, three or four houses and they're rich. But when they have thousands of houses, that's not a question of needing fancy places to live. That's just screwing everybody that's not rich.
Yeah, no, it's such an important call. I'm so glad we're dwelling on it. And thank you for the call, because it's because not everything should be viewed only as an asset. And whether you call it late-stage capitalism, sort of peak capitalism, or turbo capitalism, and that if we get better and better, or worse and worse, or more and more aggressive at defining everything as an asset, if everything is for purchase and sale, it creates problems. It creates problems. One of the most important defining fights in this country is deciding that at least human beings, can't just be assets. There's got to be limits around that. And certain things that are required for real opportunity, real democracy, real lives, there's limits to which they should just be an asset and therefore be able to be convened. It's also a lesson that if you have big wealth disparities, things just start to break. They just start to break. And millionaires, you got to be on our team with them. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I
thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Dan Davies and Craig Kennett talk about their giant spider invasion event. And
the lovable producer Connor will give a full report after watching in person the green and gold take on the purple people eaters.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Second Amendment is designed to keep the power in this country with the people.
It's not the Second Amendment that preserves power in the people. It's elections, you moron. A dictator like Donald Trump that is a king and immune from prosecution. That is what erodes democracy. Kamala Harris and Uncle Tim Walz, they own guns. Nobody's coming for them. Chillax, Glenn. Get yourself some facts.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.